Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Thursday. First with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Wednesday. Water everywhere, but none of the drops should we drink, or something. We're terrible at reading and writing, getting worse all the time. And the lady who married her light. But before any of that, petrol prices, maybe something will actually happen on this.
Petrol prices go up because of two things. They go up for two things. One, because the petrol companies put the prices up for various reasons. And the other is because the government puts the prices up through taxation. And then they tax on top of the tax with the GST, which is one of the most disgusting, disgraceful things. And we tolerate it. I mentioned this earlier in the week. We tolerate it. No, we should be. Oh, but it's only 1.5 cents. It's only 15%, you know. Do you not think that principles sometimes are important? A tax on a tax. And we just lie down and say, drive over us. It's unbelievable. You know, let me take a different approach to this. You know the ads that they're running, and they continuously run ads on radio and other places, with regard to tradies doing cash jobs. Now, I'll probably get ripped for this by some of you, but consider what I'm about to say. The government rips us off on an ongoing basis, unjustifiably, because they can. And you want to pick on a few people because they do a few cash jobs? Don't you think it's justice? Isn't there an argument there for that? Now, you can say, no, it's breaking the law. And that's one correct answer. But the morality that's involved in all of this is really disgusting. And the principal example of the moment is the tax on the tax. And there's no escaping it. There's no talking around it or talking your way out of it. It is a tax that's being imposed on us, 10 cents a litre. And then there's a tax on the tax.
It is a funny old thing, not knowing where the cheapest petrol's going to be. And I've actually become one of these people for the first time this week who uses an app to find out if... It was more to reassure me that I was going to the place where I thought the petrol was going to be cheaper. I couldn't believe it because normally it's more expensive at this place, but for some reason this week it was cheaper there. I don't know what to believe anymore. Apparently we don't have clean drinking water. Here's a man who... is saying that.
This report comes on the back of the gastro outbreak in Havelock North last year. Did you have any idea the nationwide problem was so serious?
Well, yes, we did, actually. We presented evidence to the inquiry, making all sorts of recommendations for change, and many of them have actually been picked up by the inquiry and reflected in their report released today. In essence, 20% of the public water supplies in New Zealand, predominantly small ones, aren't meeting the drinking water standards. And so they pose a fairly serious risk to people's future health. And the inquiry quite rightly has said, look, this is just isn't good enough. This is a first world country. We can do better. And their key recommendation is the establishment of an independent regulator, which in essence means taking the function away from the current Ministry of Health and giving it to a new organisation to do, which is focused just on providing clean drinking water to all people in New Zealand.
You support that, do you?
Absolutely, yes. No, that's a good idea.
I think we're all generally in favour of having access to clean water to drink. So whatever we can do to make that happen. See, the real reason I put that interview in, if I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, is because that guy's name is... I'll get Larry to pronounce it because I'm not sure.
John Fahlert.
So it doesn't sound that complicated, except it's spelt P-F-A-H-L-E-R-T.
John Fahlert.
Yeah, I've never heard of that name before. Where does that come from? Oh, I love funny names. Stop getting distracted, Glenn, and get on with the fact that we can't read and write.
Why are Kiwi kids falling behind? What are we doing wrong?
To be honest, I think we're not catering for struggling learners. We have a very, very good record with the top end. We do very well with the very able learners. But we actually, I think, are failing those learners who need a more structured approach.
Define a struggling learner to me.
Well, there's obviously a huge amount of variation there, but there's some interesting research from America that shows that actually 60% of learners will succeed regardless of method. And actually, we do very well with those. But 40% need a more structured approach. And out of those 40%, obviously, you'll get some with quite significant difficulties. Children with dyslexia, for example, who are struggling to quite a, you know, to quite a high degree. But all I think we're actually failing that 40%.
Are we not identifying those children who may be on the spectrum, may have issues such as dyslexia, and separating them out for some more, as you say, structured learning?
That is one aspect, but actually I think in the early stages it's actually very difficult to do that. You can't make a formal diagnosis of dyslexia, for example, till about 7.5, because these areas are developmental. So I think it's not so much a question of identifying struggling learners, but giving all learners a more structured approach. We don't have a structured literacy curriculum in the same way as, for example, the UK does.
That's bad news. We're not pandering to dum-dums. Yes. That's always a problem to know what to do with dum-dums, isn't it? That's not very charitable, Glenn. Not very popular. And this might not be either.
So this is not going to be popular, but there's a lot of rubbish parents pumping out rubbish children and expecting the school to fix them up. I know this because I've got kids at that age, 5 and 7.
Yeah.
And you're just talking to the new entrance teacher, and she tells you that the bell-shaped curve has shifted down, mainly because the tail is so long now. You've got the same kids that are the same as they have been, the top half of the same as they always have been, but then the kids at the bottom are really bad now.
Yep.
Yeah, you're probably
That's
not
absolutely
wrong.
Right. So, I mean, the difference or the disparity in abilities when kids start school is phenomenal. There are some children who don't even know how to hold a book.
You've got some that are reading at a six-year-old level and some that are at a 2.5-year-old level at the age of 5.
Yeah.
And what that is poor parenting. And people are going to say, oh, you can't say that. Yes, you can say it, because the other 3/4 of the kids can do it. And how did that happen? Not by accident. By reading to them, by making sure that reading and education are valued, and in the household they're valued.
Yeah.
And so can we sort that? Can we fix that?
What'll happen? Well, no. It's not we. It's they. The parent of the kid, because each kid's achievement is solved one kid at a time. It's not solved by governments. It's not solved by sweeping social change. It's the person who looks after the kid do a better job. And that's it. That's all
there is to it. Do you think that's the secret behind Singapore and Russia, though?
Yes. Do they both still have corporal punishment? Yes. Do they have kids who are sport little a-holes? Not really.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a fan of whacking kids to get them to read and write. That doesn't seem the cause and effect there doesn't seem quite. What I am a fan of is preemptive capital punishment. So I'm not saying kill kids. I'm saying don't have them exist in the first place. Any kids at all. You've heard this, my theory on this before. If we just stopped having children, it would solve a lot of problems. I rest my case. Case closed. And one of the best ways to do that, of course, is to marry things like chandeliers.
A British woman claims she is engaged as in engaged to be married, to a chandelier named Lumiere. Amanda Liberty identifies as objectum sexual, known as objectophilia, meaning she feels attraction and emotional attachment to inanimate objects. Lumiere, named after the charismatic living chandelier from Beauty and the Beast, caught Ms. Liberty's eye on eBay, and she says it was love at first sight. She immediately bought the piece, and it arrived from Germany 6 days later. Despite the original character being a man, Ms. Liberty identifies Lumiere as a woman, saying she loves the chandelier's energy and beauty. Last Valentine's Day, I proposed to her to signify our long-lasting love. I hope at some point we will have a commitment ceremony. I haven't been engaged before. No kidding. So it's very new and exciting. Golly. Golly gee whiskers.
Presumably that is what people mean when they say you're the light of my life. I feel like eBay is not the right place to sell a chandelier like that. You want a sort of a more of an auction. You want a trade me situation, don't you? You want to get people bidding over it, surely. I may have missed the point of the story. I often do. That has been News Talk Zed Bean. I am Glenn ZB, and I will miss more points for you here again tomorrow. Don't miss me missing those points.